Bibles to Ecclesiastes. Pentecostal people are people of experiences. There are many experiences, beginning with salvation, to receiving the baptism, to other. It is a book of God meeting with man, and many wonderful things happened. I want to minister this morning on four kinds of laughter. Four kinds of laughter. I'm not even going to start off with a joke, because I want it to look at it from a biblical perspective. But Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 4. When I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I did speak in tongues, but more than that, I felt something that was I have not words for it. It was such a real encounter. I couldn't wait till the next Sunday where I'd get down to the altar and feel what I did when I received. It's never happened since. But I've spoken in tongues and I've had many other encounters. I want to talk about some other experiences I've had that have been very real and very genuine. But we're going to begin by Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 4. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. The word laugh in its various forms is referred to 38 times in the Bible. Sometimes, and we'll look at them, sometimes we'll see that the laughter is right, and sometimes the laughter is wrong. Sometimes the Bible says it's a fool who is laughing. Sometimes it is God who is laughing. But I want us to see from the Word of God four kinds of laughter. I'm going to back up each type of laughter with the scriptures. Perhaps there is another kind of laughter that I may be referring to more at the end that is known within Pentecostal circles and spirit-filled, and that is laughing in the spirit, which is an experience I've had happen, I know of, one time. It just didn't happen for a short moment. It happened and lasted for 3 days. I could not quit laughing. How many have ever had a cough and you just couldn't quit coughing? Reminds me, I said I wasn't going to tell a joke about the fellow that was a coffin, fell out of a hearse, slid into a drugstore, and they looked as this coffin came sliding in, and they noticed the lid opened up, and a man raised up and says, "Have you got anything to stop this coffin?" I know I said I wasn't going to, but I couldn't help myself. Four kinds of laughter. I could not quit laughing for 3 days. Let me tell you what happened. In fact, that was before this movement of laughter, which you may, if you've been in church life and Pentecost very long, you know about maybe 15, 20 years ago, there was quite a movement that took place in Toronto. And I went there. And where it was Randy Clark who started it, and there was a minister named Rodney Howard Brown that was known for going throughout. And it was a season where God used him in and people were breaking out in laughter all over. I went to Toronto, and this is when the laughter had begun to take place up in Toronto, Canada. I went there, and I went not to be critical. I went hungry, and yet when I was there, I can't say that anything supernatural that I sensed from the Holy Spirit happened to me. I saw things that I think were of God. I saw things that I did not believe were of God. And I saw things I didn't understand. But I thought to myself, it was maybe 10 years earlier than that trip. I remember I went to a conference that John Wimber had, Signs and Wonders Conference in Anaheim, California. I remember going there with two minister friends, Dave Manning and Norman Clear, and it was just at that time that I was having this laughter come over me, and I couldn't quit. I'd never experienced anything like that. I mean, I would try to suppress it, and I mean, it's a belly laugh. It's the kind where you're grasping for air. And I was becoming self-conscious. I was kind of getting a little bit embarrassed, but I didn't care because I was just laughing. I would think people are looking at you. I know it. They're laughing at me. And I mean, everything was funny. And I thought, this is ridiculous. And I remember going to the motel that night after the conference that day. In fact, during the day of the conference, I'm having to get up, stand in a corner, and just laugh. And come back, and they're looking at me. Are you all right? Yeah, and I'd suppress it. And I remember going to the motel that night. We, the three of us men, got a room with two double beds, and Dave Manning is on that side. Now, normally, Dave Manning, I've only slept on a ministry retreat two or three times, and I hate getting a room with him because he snores. And man, I get irritated. I can't handle it. I'm always just, quit your snoring all night long. And but this time, I'm laughing. I'd wake up and he's snoring and I'm laughing. And I thought, this is ridiculous. It's the last day of the conference, and we had a break. I remember going into the restroom, and there was a long line. Now, there's 1,800 people that were attending this conference. I have no idea what is going on with me. I knew it was real. I knew nothing was apparently funny that would bring this about. And yet, I'm just having this incredible, pure belly laughter. When I'm standing in line to go into the restroom, and it came on me again, and I'm shaking. And I'm realizing this is ridiculous. Nobody is going to want to stand next to me and I don't want to get TMI too much, but I finally got out of the restroom, and I came and sat down and trying to compose myself when John Wimber got up and he said, "The Lord just spoke to me that he's going to throw a party." I thought, I've never heard of that before. And I'm trying to think what that could mean when on this one, it was a huge building, and there's 1,800 people, and way over at the right, as soon as he said that, you could hear a noise. I didn't know what it was because we're way over on the far end of that. But when it began to come across, how many have seen in football where people, they go across the stage? Well, what happened was way over there, it started laughter, a roar of laughter began on hundreds of people at once. It came across that crowd and came all the way finally to us when the two fellas I was with, I'm watching them and all those around me, when laughter hit every one of them. And with me, it stopped. And I'm looking at them thinking, what is so funny? And they are laughing, and I'm trying to be, is this real? And then the Lord spoke to me and said, that's what I've been giving you for the last 3 days. And I couldn't laugh for nothing. I fell out of place like I'd felt before. I've always been out of place. And I realized it was laughing in the Spirit. which we must never underestimate the experiences for God's people. In Luke chapter 15, verse 10, Jesus said, "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." We're going to learn that heaven is the most happiest place in the universe. When he speaks of a joy, we will see that from the biblical account, when Jesus told of the lost coin and the lost sheep and the lost son, that when the woman found the coin, she said to her neighbors, "Rejoice with me." There was a party with the lost sheep. He was glad and put it on his shoulders and brought it back or in his bosom. And with the son, it was there. The father said, "Let's throw a party. And for this my son was dead, but now is alive forevermore." And the idea is a party of great joy and exuberant laughing, of just a thrill that was very pure. Because we're made in the image of God, and we are, God laughs. And we have the capacity to laugh too. Let me deal with the four types of laughter the Bible talks about. The first one is the laughter of unbelief. We find this in Genesis chapter 18, verses 11, 12, and 15. We find these words. "Now Abram and Sarah were old and were well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself." We'll read on later when the Lord told her that she was going to have, she overheard that she was going to be a mother, and it said that Sarah laughed. "Therefore Sarah laughed within herself." And then when she was confronted, "Sarah, you laughed," she denied, saying, "I laugh not." I used to think years ago that that was just a innocent laughter, but I don't believe that way anymore. I believe it was a laughter of unbelief, and had it been a pure, innocent laughter, she would have not have felt guilty, and her conscience wouldn't have smitten her, and she wouldn't have tried to say, I didn't laugh, but it was almost a scornful laugh, a laughing of, "Oh, sure," you know, kind of maybe a real, on the low end of the scale, of a mocking. Because the Lord said, "Wherefore, why did you laugh?" And she said, "I didn't laugh." She said that because she felt guilty. And the Lord said, "Yes, you did laugh." And then the Lord said this, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" And she had a laughter of unbelief. And throughout the ages, we have found that she isn't the only one that laughs and can kind of make fun of the power and the things of God. I remember myself being guilty of that. I wasn't living for the Lord. I knew of Him, but I wasn't living for Him. I remember standing in the high school. Each of us had our lockers. And I was getting ready to put some books in the locker in exchange when I saw a girl next to me carrying a Bible. Next to her was another girl, and we both looked upon the girl who was carrying the Bible. And I remember looking at that Bible and then looking at the other lady that was observing along with me, and she rolled her eyes as though to make fun of the lady carrying the Bible. And I remember joining in and rolling my eyes with her. When I did, my heart immediately smote me, and I thought, "What in the world are you doing? Mocking and acting as though, yeah, in that ridiculous carrying a Bible." It was almost as though the Lord looked upon the yard when he looked at Peter when he denied him, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. I wouldn't say I went out and wept bitterly, but surely my heart was smitten because I realized that I had a laughter of unbelief and a little bit of a criticalness in there. Unbelief in the power of God has been in the hearts of people throughout history, men and women alike, Sarah, and there's different degrees of this mocking and making fun of the things of God. I would say, and you know this, don't ever make fun of the people of God. Don't ever make fun of when the Holy Spirit begins to move on people and they may act in an unusual way. Guard yourself against such mocking and such unbelief and a little bit of a... you find that in the Bible this happened on different degrees. We remember in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 23, when it said young children, the age I'm not sure of, but it says that, speaking of Elijah, this prophet, and he went up from thence unto Bethel, and as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him, that is Elijah, and said unto him, go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. They knew Elijah was a prophet. They knew that he was used of God, and yet here they began to make fun and mock this prophet and Elijah, and apparently God didn't think too highly of it. And the Bible says that we read that bears came out and destroyed them. There are people still today that make fun of God. It's a laughter of unbelief. The world, we see it. I shudder when I see Ronald Reagan's son make a commercial representing some atheist movement. And he ends the commercial with him saying this, knowing he's coming against Christianity, and he ends with a little smirk in his face and says, and no, I'm not afraid of burning in hell. And then he turns the corners of his mouth up and gives a little smirk, as though, no, I'm not afraid, and you Christians, and when I see that, I just shudder. I think, oh, you better be careful mocking and making fun with a laughter of unbelief. There is a well-known prophet that has gone on to be with the Lord named William Branham. William Branham, you can find this on the internet. He tells of a couple of stories. One was he knew of three young men that went to church one day when they were having communion. And these three boys, teenagers, began to make fun of the people having communion. They decided they would have their own communion. And to make a mockery of it, they went and got some ham sandwiches and some whiskey and went up into their room and got drunk and imitated and mocked the communion session. And William Branham says it was within 3 months that one of them died and two of them ended up in a mental institution. He tells of another story where, and I say this, don't ever mock the things of God. Don't ever begin to allow a laughter of unbelief. And the Bible tells often of this type of attitude that was not becoming. It was David who was bringing back in the ark of the Lord. And it said that wearing a linen ephod, he danced before the Lord. And as he did, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked out of the basement or the window. And it says she despised him in her heart. And the meaning is kind of laughing. And she said to him, how glorious. And you look, and in our today's vernacular, you looked like an idiot. You were embarrassing. You embarrassed me. And oh, that was ridiculous. A mocking, a laughter of unbelief. And David said, it was before the Lord thy God that I was dancing. And if you think I was acting a little bit out of line today, he said, you just come back tomorrow and I'll really show you how to worship God. And the Bible says that from that day forward, she could bear no children. And you give me a church that won't rejoice. You give me a church that don't know how to get happy in the Lord, and I'll show you a barren church that's not really seeing the blessings of God and the fruits and the other blessings that God would bring upon it. But here is, throughout the scriptures, you find this. William Branham tells of him being on the platform one day, and a man walked on the platform, and apparently you filled out a card. And if I understand the story, I watched it again last night to make sure I had it down right. When he's telling the story, the man came and said, "Okay, what's wrong with me?" And William Branham looked, and as the Spirit came on him, he said, "Sir, there's nothing wrong with you." And he said, "Oh, yes, there is." He said, "You're a fake." He said, "I filled out a card, and I have," he mentioned, "I have cancer and one other terrible thing." And he said, I didn't think what you did was real." And then it dawned on William Branham what this guy was doing. He was a Church of Christ man. And he had showed up the meeting to try to prove that he was a fake and to make a mockery of it. And while he's on the platform, he thought he had really scored one. When William Branham said, "Thus saith the Lord, the diseases that you said that you have, that you don't have, will now come upon thee." And it happened. You say, God wouldn't do that. When I hear people say God would do that, I said, have you read your Bible? Do you remember the time when Elisha, when he told and had Naaman, the captain, healed of his leprosy, and Elisha wouldn't take any money for God using him to bring healing to that great captain and mighty warrior, and yet Gehazi went after and got the reward? And then the Bible said the leprosy that was on Naaman came upon his servant Gehazi. And so be careful when you say God wouldn't do this and do that. It is a God that is running this universe, and he's doing it justly, and he's doing it correctly. And he's, as Jesus said, shall not the judge of the earth do right? And he does right. We come to the story in the New Testament. And it is found in Luke chapter 8, verse 52. One day a man named Jairus came to Jesus. He fell down at feet of Jesus and he begged him to come to his house and said, "Please come and heal my little daughter who was 12 years old and lay in her bed dying." And when Jesus got to the house, there was a crowd of people weeping and they were wailing outside because of the girl that was already dead. But Jesus said, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." Luke 8:52, then the Bible says, they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. They knew the girl was dead, and they laughed at the Son of God. And when he told them that she will live, they were filled with unbelief, and their lack of faith made them laugh at Jesus. And just as Sarah laughed at the power of God, and Jesus, he had them all taken out of the room. I want this unbelief and this spirit and attitude out of here. And he came into the girl, and there he said, saying, "Maid, arise." The Bible said, and her spirit came again, and she rose straightway, and he commanded them to give her meat. And her parents were astonished. Yes, there is the laughter of unbelief. Be careful that unbelief does not grow into making fun and mocking the things of God. Then number two, there is the laughter of the fool. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 6, "For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of a fool." This verse pictures a pot hanging over a fire whose thorns are burning under it, and they're making a crackling noise. And the thorns crackle as they burn, and they are consumed, and there's nothing left but cold gray embers and silence. The laughter of a fool is like that. He is miserable even while he is laughing. After his fun and laughter is over, he's empty and he's dead. Something is often missing in so many people's lives. Many young people will go to parties and they get drunk and they carry on with sensual behavior, and then they're trying to be happy. But the Bible says even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth or that joy is heaviness. Proverbs 14, verse 13. Do you know the loneliest person in the world is the one that doesn't know Jesus? The most empty people in the world are those that don't know the Savior. When your friends leave, you know, you think about it. When their friends leave and they don't know the Lord, there is no one to help them to get through the trials and troubles of life. When a person that doesn't know the Lord, when death strikes, maybe their close friends or within their family, there is no one to help them go through the chilly waters, no one to comfort them. And when judgment falls, there is no one to stand up for you and defend you. And the laughter of a fool does not last. Depression and despair and loneliness haunt such people and throughout life. I can appreciate when I see these great tragedies that happen in our land, and we've observed them, and people are shot and killed. And I understand, and I honor the, please hear me right, else I offend, and I mean not to offend. But I see that, and yes, they're honoring them, but they light a candle in memory of them. And I'm thinking, is that what the Bible says to do? No. We don't light a candle for people that have died, and yet I realize they're trying to honor it. If we really knew our Bibles, we would know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But this is the world's way that don't know Jesus. And they're reaching out, and I realize that. But oh, if I could get you to know God and get to know God's ways, you would have a different, perhaps, response. Or they'll say, we're going to have a moment of silence for those that have died. And I'm wanting to say, no, let me lead in prayer. Lord, I thank you. We have a great hope in Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Lord, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And he that knoweth the Son hath life. And such is that. But that's the world. And I appreciate that. And I want to offer them the condolences. But I want to say there is more than that. There is a Savior that can give us hope. This is a true story of a skinny, gray, sad-faced man that entered the office of a doctor, James Hamilton, in Manchester, England. He came into this doctor's office and sat down, and the doctor noticed the depressed look upon the man's face. And he said to him, are you sick? Yes, doctor, I'm sick with a deadly disease. What disease? He said, I'm depressed by life itself. I can't find happiness anywhere. Nothing makes me laugh. I have nothing to live for. Doctor, if you can't help me, I'd just soon kill myself. And the doctor said, the sickness won't kill you. You only need a change of pace. You need to laugh and to get some pleasure. Well, what shall I do? Said the man. And the doctor said, I have just the remedy. I want you to go to the circus tonight to see Grimaldi the clown. You see, I went the other night to see Grimaldi the clown, and I'm still laughing 2 days later. Grimaldi is the funniest man alive. I saw him a couple of nights ago, and I'm still laughing. Go and see Grimaldi the clown, and he will cure you. And a fresh pain crossed the man's face, and he said, Doctor, don't joke with me. I am Grimaldi the clown. And yet he was empty. And that's the way it is in life. You can be laughing today and filled with depression tomorrow. And Ecclesiastes says in chapter 7, verse 6, "For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of a fool. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness." Proverbs 14, 13. There's a third kind of laughter, and it's the laughter of God. Here is a strange verse that some people might struggle with, but if you'll get to know God, you won't struggle with it. It said in Psalms chapter 2, verse 4, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision," or derision. Why is God laughing? To understand why God is laughing in the heavens, we have to read the three verses of the psalm surrounding it to understand. And here's what it says in Psalms chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. "Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, 'Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us.' He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision." It's these people laughing at the things of God, but God says, no, it'll be God that'll be laughing. Not a laughing of a wrong kind. Let me illustrate God's laughter with a simple story. A few years ago, the Soviet Union was disintegrated, broken up. How many remember that, seeing those pictures on TV where they were taking the wall and beating it down? Communism fell. 70 years, the communists had persecuted and murdered Christians by the hundreds of thousands. The greatest enemy of Christianity in the entire world at that time was the atheistic communism, that what Ronald Reagan called that evil empire. And then one day, that evil empire, it fell apart, and quite suddenly. And you could find at that time a copy of the Newsweek magazine, and on the cover was a photograph of a huge statue of Lenin, the father of communism in Russia. You can see in the picture ropes had been tied around Lenin's statue, and it was toppled, and now it's laying on its side with a big crack in the great statue. Now, me personally, when I first saw that picture, I laughed. I said, ha ha, a short laugh of triumph over the enemy. It was like the laughter that the Israelites had when the Egyptians were pursuing them. Remember, and they came to the Red Sea, and the enemy was going to destroy them, and God told Moses to take the rod, and the Red Sea opens up, and they passed over on dry ground, and then the rod was told to put it back down, and it collapsed, and there they saw their enemy destroyed that had so abused them and treated them harshly. And it says that the Israelites rejoiced, and they were happy that their enemy was no more. May I say, a short laugh of triumph over the enemy? And I personally think that's very close to the way that God will laugh when His enemies stumble and fall. Listen to the words of God found in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24 through 26. "Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have said it not all my counsel, and you would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity." Proverbs 1, 24 through 26. And oh, may the cry go out, don't defy God. He is greater than you. Learn to submit to God. Learn to yield to God. Don't harden your heart. Don't say, I'll live the way I want to live. I'll do what I want to do. Please come against that attitude if the devil would tempt you to do so. Learn how to submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Learn how, at the blessing of yielding to Him and saying, not my will, but thine be done. Learn the beauty and the strength there is in doing the will of God. For to do His will is our meat and our strength. Lastly, let's look at the laughter of salvation. The laughter of salvation. I mentioned earlier of an experience I had of laughing 3 days. The joy, the laughter, the pureness that was in it. I believe that is a glimpse of heaven, of what awaits us in the presence of God. Jesus said in Luke 6:21, blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Do you know that heaven is the happiest place in the universe? And the psalmist was correct when he said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Psalms 30 verse 5. I had a season of laughing for 3 days, but I've also had seasons for days where I find myself weeping. Just weeping. Lord, I'm troubled about this one. I'm troubled about this one, Lord. You know it better than I do, but my heart is heavy. Let me quote a word for you. I remember one time weeping for days. Nobody knew it. My wife didn't know it. No one knew it. But when I'm alone, I just find myself weeping. For many reasons. Thank God for His joy that comes in the morning. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Number one, it will be a laughter of congratulation. Let me illustrate. You meet a friend who has maybe gone through a very difficult operation. They've been seriously ill. And now you and they realize they beat it. And when you see them, you rejoice with them. I'm so glad you've conquered that. And there's a rejoicing. There's the laughter of congratulation. You can find this in Scripture. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the what? The joy of the Lord. Then there is the laughter of reunion. Have you ever been to a family reunion? Those you've not seen each other for maybe a year. And now when the family gets together and you see the loved ones that you love and you haven't seen, and you laugh and you rejoice and you hug and you're so thrilled. My wife said, honey, looky here. Look at Bob Garner. He posted on Facebook. 20 people. And I thought, oh, how wonderful that is. How beautiful it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. But can you imagine the thrill that we have on that day when we get to be united with our family? And oh, the love and the joy that will be there when we meet with our loved ones. And there is the laughter of reunion. And then there is the laughter of forgetfulness. These are all the laughter of salvation. It will be a laughter of forgetfulness. We have our difficulties and our differences down here, but up there we'll forget all of these. And up there we're going to love one another. And the fourth will be the laughter of sweet memories. We'll talk it over in the by and by. I wish I could be like Jimmy Swaggart right now, and right in the middle of the sermon, he just stops and he sings, and I'll watch him do that, and I'll turn the TV off, and I'll try to sing. And I say, boy, it's a good thing they don't hear me, because I break every note there is in the book. but my heart is as good as his is. We'll talk it over in the by and by. Can you imagine the joy that we're going to have? And number five, there will be a laughter of victory and triumph. Oh, bless the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, bless the Lord. It'll be a laughter of victory and triumph. Satan often gives us trouble, but at last we'll gain the victory over him, and he'll be in hell where he belongs, and he'll never be able to tempt us again. We'll be like the Israelites rejoicing and laughing after crossing the Red Sea. It'll be like Wellington returned in triumph from Waterloo. It'll be like Teddy Roosevelt who returned in triumph from Cuba. It'll be like Pershing returned in triumph from France. And Eisenhower returned in triumph from Germany. They had won some great victories and they marched home in glory, leading a triumphant procession. And one of these days, Jesus will split the clouds of glory and he will come. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, but we which are alive and remaining shall be caught up together to meet them in the air. And there shall we be with the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Wherefore, comfort one another in these words. And I find comfort in knowing that one of these days Jesus will come and it will be glorious. Hallelujah, hallelujah. As Christian man lay dying, he said to a friend, "I'm having a vision." And his friend said, "What do you see?" He said, "I see a W written all over the sky." He said, "What do you think it means?" He said, "I think it means welcome to heaven. I think it means welcome to heaven. Your life's day little by little will end and we'll be going home. And welcome will be written over the gate. Welcome will be written over your mansion. Welcome will be written over the throne. Welcome will be written over the heart of Jesus. So let me conclude. Debbie, would you come? Let us trust Christ. Let us love one another and serve him. Then our sorrow down here will be turned into a blessed eternal laughter." It was that great singer, or not singer, but Fanny B. Crosby, a blind woman, who wrote the words of this hymnal. Would you stand, please? Here's what this blind lady wrote. "Through the gate of the city in a robe of spotless white, he will lead me where no tears will ever fall. In the glad song of the ages I shall mingle with delight, but I long to see my Savior first of all. I shall know him, I shall know him, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him by the print of the nails in his hand." Four kinds of laughter: the laughter of unbelief, the laughter of a fool, and the laughter of God, and the laughter of salvation. And there's the laughter of God when a sinner repents and comes home. Father, we thank you for your goodness and for your joy that you give us and the peace that you give us. Oh, may we be people that have been blood-bought, but may we be filled with thy Holy Spirit. May our eyes be turned upon you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. May we forget this old world, and may we look to you and love you and worship you and serve you till you bring us home. The altars are open. Would you come and find a place to pray? Hallelujah. And let the Lord minister to you. with you. He can do more for you by His Holy Spirit and His Word, the great physician. And the wisdom of man, the counsel of the Lord, it standeth for sure. Blessed Jesus. Blessed Jesus.